to the Garden Show. I'm Molly Kabler, and we're having just a little technical details this morning, but here we are.
Sorry. Yes, we're here. We're both here. Hopefully, we're both on the air, and we are both audible to you.
We are.
The listener.
It's exciting. And today's show is about growing bulbs and things about bulbs. This is the time of year when the garden looks a bit tired or is getting finished or whatever, and it is really nice to have the task of thinking about a fresh new season and the idea of ordering those bulbs is very appealing. Or purchasing them. Kitty and I have done a little bit of research here in town to find out what's going to be available. Supply chains for things are somewhat different these days, so we wanted to check and see if we could bring you some information about that.
So just to back up, we're talking about those spring bulbs like daffodils and tulips and crocuses and things like that. And like Molly said, we did want to find out what you could find locally, what you can expect to be able to buy locally. And it seems that maybe one out of our three local suppliers that carry garden supplies will be having a selection of bulbs to plant this fall.
Right. So we always like to support local merchants, but it's also always possible to order things. We think that there should be plenty to be available if you order through the mail, but know that gardening has been really popular. And so traditional gardening supply availability has been somewhat problematic.
Yeah, for sure. Especially in seeds last spring was kind of the thing that I had never seen before where seed companies were running out. I don't know if we'll have quite that same kind of run on flower bulbs because generally it doesn't kind of fit that kind of food security sort of mindset. But there are already, just looking at a few of the online catalogs, there are already a few items that are sold out. So you can either buy your bulbs locally, you can order them from various companies. I'm sure you could probably pick them up, you know, when and if you're traveling, particularly to the lower 48. If you go too much further north, bulbs are not a thing in this state. They don't tend to withstand the winters for the most part. So they're kind of more of we're like in the sweet spot for a lot of the bulbs, actually.
Yeah, I have actually purchased good quality bulbs here in Sitka. We know that True Value is planning to have bulbs for sale. And Costco is also a reasonable solution. Their quality of bulbs. Now, you have to just get their packs. You can't select a few bulbs. So you want to think carefully about if you want to plant 80 crocus bulbs or not. If you do, that's not a bad way to go. But just mind how many there are in those bags. They're certainly cost effective. The other thing is that you can buy thousands of bulbs online, but you will get what you pay for. And some of them can be very off quality. So if you really want to honor the time and energy you're going to spend in planting them and cultivating them, you might want to go for something more than the most inexpensive bulbs that are available.
Right. So what kind of bulbs do you want? Wherever you get them, there's a few kind of bulbs that are kind of tried and true for us. I already got to say the word daffodil earlier, or maybe I did. daffodils are naturalize for me. The deer don't eat them. They have bright colors, and there's all sorts of types and shapes. So daffodils are always a good choice. Well, I mean, I'm really fond of them, so Molly's probably laughing right now. But the other ones that I think are really reliable are crocuses. Crocuses come up most years. Actually, they come up pretty much every year, and there's one of those early ones that come up, and they're that bright splash of color when you're kind of desperate for a little color. I did discover this year that deer actually like to eat crocuses, little monsters.
I've had that experience as well. The other one that's really early, and in fact, I've seen them coming up in January, long before the bloom season of much anything, are the snowdrops. And they have a super long season. Now, they're not the splashy colors of, say, the daffodils, tulips, and crocuses. They're white, but they're certainly welcome, so welcome, because they're so early. And they are tough. They tend to naturalize. So when you're reading the literature and you're, what are these people talking about when they say a bulb naturalizes? What that means, it's jargon for it will grow in your garden, it will come back the next year and likely increase, produce more bulbs or bulblets so that you actually have more plants as time goes on. So that's what naturalizing means when it comes to bulbs. And you'll see that language in catalogs and online on packages, naturalizes. Usually that's true. Not always, though. I mean, if we're on the margins of the right climate for a bulb, it may not naturalize here, whereas in another place that has a drier summer in particular. So that's kind of our issue sometimes with bulbs, is not a dry and warm enough summer for them to repack the bulb, was what I say. So when you buy that bulb, the bloom is already inside it. It's tiny, but it's in there. And that's why they're one of those first plants that really pump up and bloom early, because the bloom is already in the bulb.
That's the nice part, is you can almost think of bulbs as an annual in some ways. They don't have to be an annual. Many of them will stay, actually most of them will stay year after year. But you, when you buy that bulb, you're basically getting a flower. It's already done. You need to, you know, plant it. You need to give it a place to grow. But then you have that flower. So I guess I tend to think of tulips as annuals for me, because a number of them have naturalized in people's gardens in Sitka, but they don't naturalize for me in my garden. So I still like tulips and I like to grow them, but I just decided I need to plant them every year. And because deer have this incredible fondness for tulips, I only plant my tulips in pots on the deck, where if the deer is getting up on the deck, then I've got bigger problems.
Right. If you do want to try and have take your chances on tulips that will come back, you want to purchase and grow the tulips that are the old-fashioned varieties, either the ones they call the species tulips, which are small, again, no guarantee, or the Emperor series, or the just the plain old-fashioned yellow and red tulips. That's going to be your best bet in terms of a tulip that lasts more than 1 year. And then the other strategy is, if you can plant along a building or someplace where it's drier and warmer in the summer. They don't mind cold winters. It's not the cold of winter. It's that wet and cool summer. But along a building can really make a difference for tulips coming back.
So numbers, Molly mentioned numbers, the numbers that come in some of those packs. And I would say, if you have the space and the wherewithal, you should plant lots. and by lots, I remember the sentence, excess is your friend. And excess is your friend in terms of number of bulbs, because of that big splash of color you get. Now, not everyone's going to have room for 80 crocuses in their garden, or, you know, 30 or 40 tulips or whatever, but if you do, it's worthwhile, because that huge splash of color that you get will keep coming back with very little care. And that's one of the things I really, really love about bulbs, in particular the ones that do well in my yard. And just because I put all that effort into it once, when I plant them, I make sure the planting hole is deep enough. I give them some bone meal, a little lime, and then I plant them and I walk away, and periodically I got to divide them. They're very happy.
So the interesting thing about bulbs and planting them is that the directions all tell you to plant each bulb at a great distance from one another, or what feels like a great distance from one another. And if it's a bulb that reproduces easily, that's not a bad strategy. Your first year, they're going to seem a little spread out. And then after that, hopefully they'll fill in more as they produce more. But if they're not, if they're a tulip and they're only going to grow 1 year, you might as well plant them pretty close together because you're really not betting on them coming back the next year. And the reason to plant them, not touching, but maybe half as far apart as the directions say, is one, we've got plenty of water here, which is a big issue for other bulbs. And then the other is that that you just are going to have a more concentrated set of color that looks better. And that's what Kitty's talking about.
So when I plant a pot on my deck, and let's say I have like a 12 to 18 inch in diameter pot, I'll put at least 8 tulips in there, and then a few small daffodils and crocuses. So they are darn near touching in that pot, but that's fine for my purposes. I'm just going to enjoy those flowers that 1 year and then not be worried about it. I might move the daffodils out to the bed because they're going to make it and the crocuses out. But basically, that's my big tulip show. And so it doesn't matter if they're touching. Fact is, they kind of hold each other up better if we get some of those wildy, you know, spring winds.
One of the things I like to do when I'm planting tulip bulbs in a pot is that I layer them. So I'll put some at the bottom, some in the next layer, and then maybe some crocuses on top, and go from there. And wait, we have a call. Hello, you're on The Garden Show.
Hi, Molly. This is Alice Shell. And previously, you talked about trimming the lilacs, and I don't know what you mean by trimming them. I know I've cut off the dead blossoms. Is that what you're talking about by trimming them?
Well, if you don't want to trim your lilac, you certainly don't need to. There's no reason to do it unless you want to. Do you need to shape your lilac? Certainly taking off the old flowers is going to be, they're going to look better, and it's healthier for the plant, the shrub. But if you don't need to trim your lilac, then you don't need to.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just wondering what you meant by trimming them. You just shape them if you want to shape them?
Right. If you want to shape them, this is the time of year.
Okay. Okay, I just wondered because I know I've never cut them back or anything, so.
Right. Alice, is it possible for you to turn your radio off or down? It's a little easier for us to hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, it's turned off, but I think I'm done.
All right, well, thanks so much for calling. And, if you want to shape it, now's the time to do it because the lilacs are going to form their blooms for next year, their buds for next year fairly soon. But, you know, doesn't improve the health of the plant necessarily, right? There's no necessary time to trim.
Right. I did trim one of them. I have two of them in my yard, and I trimmed one of them. I just trimmed the edges and took the old blossoms off to see what would happen. I know they're getting some buds right now. So anyhow, well, thank you very much for answering me.
Yeah, thanks for your call and your question. And be interesting to see if you notice a difference between a lilac that you trim and one that you didn't. So, all right, thanks so much for your call.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
I did want to mention a couple of other types of bulbs that people should think about trying. They're a little bit unusual. And one that I've really enjoyed having, actually two, I'll start with the newer one first, is a camas. The Camassia that have these tall spikes with these lovely blue flowers, and they'll bloom a little bit later. They're not, you know, an early spring bloom. They'll show up maybe in May or June, depending on the year. You see them offered in some places in Commerce. I've seen them offered in town periodically, but they're also offered by a variety of companies. But they have been coming back for me pretty faithfully. I actually put them in one of my vegetable beds because I wanted them to have a really nice, good spot to grow. You could also put them, obviously, right in your flower bed. And the other one I wanted to mention, and I know we've talked about so many times, are the trout lilies, the erythroniums. They are such a great bulb for our area. They just keep coming back. They multiply. They have gorgeous flowers.
Yeah, a lot of the core bulbs that get sold as your fall planting bulbs do very well here. So we've already mentioned tulips and daffodils and crocuses. Grape hyacinths do fine. The snowdrops do well. The camas, I have some of those too. The reticulate irises, so they're a tiny little iris that you can plant now. And let's see, what are some of the other great ones? Oh, the alliums. The alliums are certainly stately and interesting and do very well here. What's some of your other unusual ones? Oh, the, let's not forget the sort of what get called bluebells. And they keep changing the name of this bulb. Hyacinthoides is one of the recent ones.
Right.
They call them Spanish bluebells. And they actually come in blue, pink, and white, although the blue is the most common. And they naturalize. In fact, they're probably almost an invasive bulb. But if you're looking for something to really fill in, that's a good one.
Right. So I have quite a few of those. Sometimes you see them called English hyacinths as well. And I know they're super hardy. And one of the reasons why I know they're so hardy is because I've visited an old kind of abandoned mining claim where the bulbs were planted there, you know, probably in the 30s or 40s, probably 30s. And those bulbs, the English hyacinths and the daffodils, were still blooming. So they have been neglected for years and they're still going strong. So that's something, you know, that's something to recommend them in my mind.
Yeah.
One of the other ones I really like are the Chionodoxas.
Yeah.
Glory of the Snow, I think they're called.
Yeah. And those come in blue and pink. The blue is such an amazing color. The pink is unusual, but I don't think it does justice to this bulb like the blue ones do. And they're small. Again, those, if you're ordering small bulbs, you know, the size of the bulb itself is small, many. And if you can put in quite a few, you're certainly going to have a much better show.
Yes, indeed. So we did also have a question about another kind of bulb, lilies. So
right.
Lilies are a type of bulb. Some types you're going to plant in the spring and some you're going to plant in the fall. You can divide a number of them after they bloom. And the specific question we had was about the Asiatic hybrids of lilies. And those lilies tend to be the bloomers that show up maybe late June and July. They're some of the first of the lilies to bloom. And they can be divided, I think, pretty readily depending on your patch, every 2 or 3 years or even 4 years, depending on, you know, how well you're doing. The biggest trick, I think, with the lilies and dividing them is making sure you dig deep enough. They are deeper than you think. And I'm saying this because I've learned the hard way with a couple of lilies that I thought I was digging plenty deep and I was not. So make sure you really get below that bulb and get the whole thing out of the ground.
So a couple of shows ago, we talked about late season color, and I had a comment by email from a listener saying, well, you didn't talk about lilies, and I have a lot of great lilies this time of year in my garden. So perfect that we're talking about lilies, and just a reminder that they are a late season bloom, and a lot of them are really showy right now, all the way into September. One thing to keep in mind is that there are several types of lilies, and the latest blooming ones, the ones that the material they come with, you know, the packaging says they are late bloomers. Back in the day, we did not often get those bloomed in time for the end of the season. So if you're worried about whether you have enough warmth or a sunny enough spot, choose lilies that are earlier bloomers, like these Asiatics that we're talking about. But some of the other ones are so worth growing, but just know that it can be hard in our climate to get a late, late blooming lily up and going enough to really have a beautiful bloom late in the season.
So the latest ones to bloom, usually the most fragrant ones are they're in a group called the Oriental Hybrids. And they also have, sometimes they're sold as gold band lilies, but they're so fragrant. It's just intense. But with both of those, both Asiatic and Oriental lilies, if you decide to divide them, dig plenty deep, and then notice that once you get that whole plant out, you'll see what looks like, I don't know, I guess you could think of it kind of like a very loose garlic clove. So it has a bunch of bulblets on the outside, and you can actually separate those gently and then replant, you know, maybe just divide it in half and replant and fertilize nicely, not too much, just a little bit, and let them go. And you can probably keep your patch going pretty well by dividing every few years.
So you mentioned fertilizer, and I think this is a great topic to touch on for the bulb, you know, show, because when you go to buy your bulbs, they always have bulb food there for you to buy as well. The question is, do you need bulb food? Do you need to put bulb food or bulb fertilizer when you plant? And the answer is depends. Well, that's always the answer, isn't it? But in this case, if you're treating your tulips as annuals, you actually don't need that, because the whole plant and the flowers are already packed in that bulb. If you're planting some smaller bulbs or some bulbs that you expect to naturalize, then, and your soils are not terribly nutritious, or you recognize that you're subject to leaching in your perennial beds, then using some of that bulb food is not a bad idea.
Yeah, I don't give them a ton of food, but I usually do give them a little boost with like bone meal, because that's a good phosphorus source, and then lime. I pretty much lime most of my my flower beds, just because we have some rain. I don't know if anyone's noticed, and that leaching does tend to, you know, lower the pH in your soil. So I kind of add this kind of slow drip sort of lime back in. So that's pretty much what I do, and then after I plant everything, I will mulch it over with some sort of seaweed to keep things down. If you don't plant things deep enough and we have some freezing and thawing, those shallower bulbs can actually get lifted out of the ground. So planting things deep enough and then mulching them really help prevent that problem.
If we have a winter with a bunch of dormancy breaks, in other words, periods, stretches of time when it's pretty warm for winter weather, you can see bulbs starting to come up, and it can be a little alarming. So one thing you can do then is mulch. So cover them with mulch, or cover them with cut coniferous branches or something like that, like your lay over them. Your ornamental stuff that you use to decorate for the holidays is not a bad one. So mulching over can keep them going, oh, we're supposed to stay in the ground now. We're not supposed to come up. But if they do come up, for the most part, unless the deer come through, they'll probably be tough enough to wait until the actual spring for their blooms.
Yeah, I don't usually lose any bulbs to the cold because of that particular habit they have of starting up early. Oftentimes they won't all the way open. Every once in a while there's a little bit of loss, I think, or a little bit of diminishment of the bloom in some of the earliest crocuses, but not often. Usually those things are tough as nails. But I think part of what helps avoid that really is planting things deep enough and then mulching. That mulch will keep that bed cold, actually. So that's really one of the reasons why we add mulch in the fall, is once that bed starts to cool down, that layer of material on the top keeps it cold.
So years ago, I had somebody tell me that you needed to wait until late in the fall to plant bulbs here, because otherwise it was too warm and too wet. And I thought about that, and it's an interesting theory. But if you think about all your bulbs that are in the ground already that you've planted in previous years, you didn't dig those up and save them from the fall weather. So I don't think that necessarily follows. I think it's fine whenever you're ready to plant your bulbs. And in fact, probably planting them somewhat sooner rather than later means a healthier start for the bulb, because warm inside your house in a warm, dry place is not the best storage for bulbs while you're waiting to plant them. And they've been in transport. They've possibly been inside a store and warm. So cool Cool and not wet, but cool and moist isn't a bad place to store your bulbs, and then actually plant them as soon as is convenient for you.
Yeah, when I order bulbs and I receive them, I leave them outside. Or if I buy bulbs in the store, I put them outside on the covered porch so they're dry and they're cool. I don't bring them in the house at all. And then I've also accidentally dug up bulbs or purposefully dug up bulbs, you know, sometime in the summer after the foliage went dormant. And I store those in basically in a bigger garden pot with a little bit of mixture of wood chips. And so they're moist, they're dry, they're not sitting out in the rain, they're on the porch. And then those will be fine to replant probably, you know, maybe during this beautiful weekend we're supposed to have.
Yeah, this would be a great time. So the other thing is there are some bulbs that actually get crowded. The erythroniums, the trout lilies do that. So they'll benefit from digging up and being spread apart. You can share them with your neighbors. You can plant them around so that you have more patches. The snowdrops do this, and sometimes you can increase your crocuses as well. You know, the bulbs that really produce offsets or, you know, naturalizing, these are, you know, just really reproducing in place and growing more plants. So this is a good time to dig those up and move them around if that's what you want to do. And if you're doing a redesign and you want to dig up any of your bulbs, this is a good time. The problem, of course, is being careful with the shovel so you don't cut them. They aren't going to benefit from that. But a little bit later isn't the best, because what the bulbs do, as soon as it gets chillier and that moist fall, they start growing their roots again. That's what they're doing while you know, after you've planted them. The reason we plant them in the fall is to establish their roots. And then once the weather turns and the light in the spring, they're ready to pump.
Solid advice. Oh, the one last point I wanted to make about, you know, I love daffodils, but the one kind of daffodil that gives me a hard time that I would like to suggest that people plant in a more covered spot are the daffodils that basically look like they have extra stuffing in the trumpet part of the daffodil, so that they're very heavy. And if those get a lot of moisture, they fall over. I mean, that's the only kind of daffodil that I've had a little trouble with. So if you're going to have those, make sure you plant those in a spot that gets a little bit of cover, so they're not subject to the harshest of our rains.
So we're out of time for today's garden show. And thanks so much for joining us. I wish you the chance to purchase and plant a beautiful bulb show for your coming spring.
Yep, have a great time, and we'll be off for a couple of weeks and then back towards the end of September.
You're listening to The Garden Show. I'm Molly Kavler.
And I'm Kitty Labonte.
KCAW Sitka.